Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up at UnderdogFantasy.com with promo code SGPN and receive a free $25 entry to use in Best Ball Mania 2 for a chance to win $1 million. Make sure to tune to Draft Day on the 13th of July, where Ryan Kramer will attempt to draft for 24 hours straight. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app in the App Store or the Google Play Store. Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the Sports Gambling Podcast. This is the MLB Gambling Podcast. We're bringing you our 24 hours delayed, our Sunday night show. We're recording now on a Monday afternoon with the Home Run Derby. We're going to have a little look at the Home Run Derby tonight, which takes place in Colorado during the All-Star break. We're going to have a little look at our picks for the weekend as well and a few other bits and bobs. And joining me from Houston, Texas, where I believe I've just been watching the news over here, and the news was telling me how wildly hot it is, Moon, if you're in the middle of a heat wave or something even worse, I think. Is that right?
Yeah. Another day in Houston, Texas, at least in the summer, where it's scorching hot. We try to stay indoors during the summer times, but it gets ridiculous. We haven't even reached our hottest temperatures yet, but, you just got to stay hydrated down here during these times and, just try to make it through the summer months. But, I know you're probably hotter than me and steaming a little bit after yesterday. So you want to get into that quickly?
I don't know what you're talking about, Munaf. You're going to have to, the football, do you mean?
Oh yeah. yeah.
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster, let's say, a roller coaster kind of 18 hours. Went to the pub, we had a room booked out for 80 people. Yep. All the football team, the little lads, the 10-year-olds, and the families and the dads and everybody else. And it was good, really good atmosphere, enjoyed it, scored a goal. I think probably should have gone for it at that point. Once we'd got 1-0 up. Yeah. We for about 20 minutes, I think we had them on the ropes, and really we could have gone for it and got a second goal. It didn't happen. The game settled down. The equaliser was coming. You could see it coming. They got on top, and then actually England hung on for a little while. Extra time, nothing much happened, and we lost on penalties, which it's an absolute lottery at that point. Like I've said the last couple of weeks, it's not something I was heartbroken about. You can't fake that affection. So I was more disappointed for the people I was with, because there was people I was with who weren't faking that affection. People who, this was a life-changing thing. There was people, there was granddads there who were 60, 70, 80 years old who've been waiting 55 years to see this and might not get another chance. So I was disappointed for them. And yeah, it's one of those things. It's just I got home, I was disappointed. And then today I've just spent all day, I think most rational people have, just furious with what's happened since the racist abuse that the players have received online. Sure. Saka and Rashford, yeah, and Sancho, Jadon Sancho, have all received a load of racist abuse. The England fans smashing the place up, fighting, beating up Italians, finding black people in London. It just makes you absolutely embarrassed and ashamed to be part of this stupid fucking country. Like, it's absolutely horrendous. I've since got home, and in the last hour, I've watched the news. I've taken some more media in. And like most things, with a little bit of time came a bit of perspective. And you realise that that's not everybody in this country. That is such a tiny minority.
Sure.
But that's what makes the headlines. No one, there's not a news story, and 99.9% of people went home and shrugged their shoulders, had a cup of tea and went to bed. That's not a story. But so, yeah, and the majority of us are respectful and well-meaning and well-behaved football supporters, all who just love the sport. And like most things in life, it's the minority that absolutely knacker it up. So, yeah, there's been some disgraceful behaviour. Yeah. And like we said last week, that the being an Englishman in the Slack channel wasn't always a fun place. And I do absolutely understand it. And things like this just sort of appall you. Like, it's been a roller coaster, we would absolutely say. I don't know which part I'm on. When, about 5 minutes ago, I was all right. And now I feel myself a bit agitated again. So
I think I'm responsible for rallying you up. No, I thought it was a great match. I actually bet on England to lift the trophy, and I thought they could have, at least for the game part, they could have gone for the kill when they got up 1-0, and they had all the momentum on that side. Within that next 10 minutes after that first goal, they kind of had Italy on the ropes, and they probably could have got a second goal. So it was tough to see, and they got the equalizer. I mean, it was, I think it was off of a rebound that the goal.
It was a bit scrappy.
And then, it was just unfortunate and penalty kills. It's sad because it really takes away from a great tournament that it was, that you have the minority, like you said, that have to make this something personal and make racial remarks. And, with all the things that we've gone through with, I don't want to get all political about our show here, but, you being there in England, I think that was a firsthand experience, because you could provide us with what's happening because you're on that side of the country. So don't want
to
get
you
into
can't the- ignore it either. It would be folly to ignore it. We could just can't sit here and talk about the football and pretend that hasn't happened, because it has happened, and it spoiled what was. And now, again, like I say, I've got a little bit of perspective, and you realise that the last month has been a positive thing for our country.
Sure.
Coming out of lockdown, people have got back into the stadiums, all the kids are going to school, faces painted and flags, and it's been a fun time. And everyone's been singing the song and going to the pub together. And and the team, like I said last week, they're a team that took the knee, they're a team that will wear a rainbow armband, they're a team that have fed starving kids through the lockdown.
Yeah, and the crazy part is that when you told me last week, I believe on our episode, that Marcus Rashford really helped the country when the government wasn't, that was a storyline that I didn't hear of until you told me. The sad part is that we don't hear about those type of things that happen not only in England, but all over the world, right? And it's always a negative news, because negative news sells. That's what makes the headline. So it's really sad to see. But, I'll let you wrap it up, but I thought it was a great match. Unfortunately, England fell short a little bit. You got to give the Italian goalkeeper a lot of credit for what he did in the penalty shootout. But, we're on to looking forward to the World Cup and getting back to, the leagues again, starting here fairly soon in August.
Yeah, I think one of the most positive things is that this is a very young England team. Sure. And as much as it never pans out to say we will have other chances, they should do. They've got the best years should be ahead of them. And hopefully the social side of things will sort itself out, because it has put a bit of a dampener on it. But with a bit of perspective, it's been a positive month, and I think there's more to come. So this ties nicely into our picks, Moonaf, moving on to what happened over the weekend, because I came back last night. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a little bit tired and emotional. Alcohol had been taken, and I put the baseball on, and my dog was going, which was a big price dog, +183, I think, was Merrill Kelly and the Diamondbacks against the Dodgers. The Dodgers had beaten them 22-1 on Saturday night.
Yep.
So I checked; it was in the bottom of the sixth, and the D-backs were 2-1 up. Mm-hmm. Mookie Betts had hit a dinger off the very first pitch of the game. And then Merrill Kelly had out-dueled Tony Gonsolin, which is what I'd hoped. They'd got 2-1 up. Just as I flicked it on, Dalton Varsho then hits a two-run bomb. and the D-backs go 4-1. And I made the fatal mistake. I wrote one word in the Slack channel, Moonaf, because there was a few people in there. There's a little bit of chat, so I could see people were actively. And I just wrote Diamondbacks with three or four dots after it. You know, it was just the beginnings of a little flex, the beginnings of a little celebration. Yeah. And in the bottom of the eighth, the Dodgers scored three to tie it up. And in the bottom of the ninth, the Dodgers scored three more and won 7-4. So, yeah, that was the kick in the pants that I didn't need when I'd just been roundly kicked in the pants for about 2 hours.
Another week where the bullpen screws us over, right? So I had it last week, and then you took the D as well.
Jake Mariznick out in right field. I've no idea what he was playing at. He just made two absolutely rookie errors, like just two bog standard plays. I'd have caught them. There was one landed between him and Varsho, the center fielder. Yeah. And it just makes a huge difference. And then the run score after that. So the unearned run scored after an absolutely basic error, like so. But the way my night was going, that was always going as well. My lock, I don't know if I can claim it or not, Moonaf. You can be the independent adjudicator on this. Because sure. I picked Cal Quantrill to go on Sunday night also against Chris Bubich and the Royals. But they pulled forward Quantrill 24 hours to the Saturday.
Yeah.
And he actually won relatively comfortably. He went six innings, which I'd hoped he would. So he was getting stretched out. He'd sort of built himself up to five innings pitched last time against Houston.
Yeah.
And this time made it seven, and Cleveland won this really comfortably. So am I allowed to put a tick against my name there, Moonaf?
Yeah, I think the disclaimer that we have to put out is usually when we're making our picks, it's usually based off the starting pitcher for that team.
Absolutely,
that we're going
yeah.
for, right? So I know there's going to be, it's almost every day in the MLB where there's the pitching change, whether a pitcher that we're backing it gets rescheduled to go the following day or the day after that. So I think the disclaimer that we should put out there for our listeners and people that are betting our picks is that just pay attention to which pitchers that we're backing, and just make sure when you're putting in the bets that it's that pitcher starting, because like we said, that pitching changes happen. So yeah, for sure. You claim that as a win because that was a guy that you were backing for the Indians.
I think there'd maybe been a rain out on Friday, so yeah. So they'd moved some of that pitches around. But yeah. Even if you go and put it in the win column, again, the process is right. Cal Quantrill did get the job done. So yeah, 1-1 and really quite a hard luck story. Loss at a big price last night for the Diamondbacks. Moonaf, 1-1. It's the story about, this is maybe the fourth show running now. You are 1-1 again.
Yeah, last week we went 1-1. I think the previous week is when we all did really well. So we're back to that 1-1 road. Quickly, I had my lock was the under yesterday. Sunday with Luis Castillo and Brandon Woodruff on the mound, both against stellar. I took the under in that game. Both starting pitchers were stellar. I believe it was like 1-0 heading into, or it was tied up heading into the ninth, and then the Reds tacked on two more to get the victory there. But both pitchers, like I said, went Brandon Woodruff six innings, only gave a one earned run. Luis Castillo five in the third, three hits, one earned run. So he gave up six walks, but they were able to get a couple of double plays and get him out of that inning. So that one fairly cashed easily. And then my dog, another pitcher that got rescheduled, Ross Stripling. He was supposed to go, I believe, on Friday, but he got rescheduled to Saturday against the Blue Jays. But nonetheless, he didn't have a good outing either. He gave up, he only went 3 2/3 of an inning, gave up four earned runs, and the offense also was a no show. So, took the loss there. So, another 1-1 week, that would probably put us at even money, not making money, not losing money either. So, that was a story for us this past weekend. Nick and Will, Nick, you know, was on vacation last week. He will be back tomorrow with us. We'll make that announcement after the end of the show. And then Will also was busy with work this week. So both of those guys will be on tomorrow's show. We'll all have picks for the game starting again, I believe, on Thursday.
Yeah, that's right. I think the pitching matchups over the weekend, you said there was a lot of pitchers going onto the IL, possibly tactically for 10 days. You, Darvish went. There was another couple of other names as well. So hopefully things will settle down again as we get into the second half, starting on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Our Tally Site picks, Tally Site has corrected itself. Whatever gremlins they had, it fixed. And unbeknownst to me, it turns out I'm an absolute legend, Moonaf.
There you go.
Yeah. 2 weeks running, done all right, 60%. And this week I'm 54-39. So yeah, led the, been on top of the leaderboard of the analysts for a couple of weeks there. So while I've been whinging onto you that I'm not doing much correct, it turns out I was. It was just, I was like a swan, Moonaf.
Yeah.
All you see is the exterior gliding along, all the hard work was going on underneath the water. So that's how I was doing. And yeah, you're rolling along nicely. 55%, Moonaf.
Yeah, last week I missed yesterday. I just completely, it was yesterday was just such a busy day for me. I wasn't able to get my picks up there, but yeah, I'm still hanging there around 55% for the season. So that's the goal for me for every sport when I'm putting on my tally sites there, tally site picks there. Nick, like I said, Nick was on vacation, so he was completely off the grid. So sometimes you kind of need to get your mind right to come back and grind. And Will, again, he's at 54%. So, you know, we've kind of bounced back nicely. I know maybe a month or so ago, we were all around like that 50%, 52%. And over the last month or so here, we've really improved our overall averages, and it's starting to show on tally side and then also on our website. So again, if you haven't seen our picks or been following our daily picks, make sure to head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Just hit that MLB tab, hit MLB picks, and you'll see all of our picks daily for every single game between myself, Malcolm, Nick, and Will.
Yeah, the SGPN boys are starting to feature more heavily at the top ends of those leaderboards again. Yep. And we're starting to fill out the top places again, so that's good. Before we get into the home run derby, Moonaf, there's really one bit of news that's quite a very important piece of news, and it was Ronald Acuna with a torn ACL, out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that this is like the worst injury. That and an Achilles tear are the two worst injuries that you can have in any sport. And torn ACL, it takes at least a year for you to kind of come back and be yourself again. So the good thing for Ronald Acuna is that he's still a young guy. He's going to be able to recover nicely, but it's going to be a long road ahead of him. But to lose one of the best players in MLB, especially for the Atlanta Braves, we talked about Fernando Tatis Jr. and Ronald Acuna. They're 1A and 1B in that National League as far as the young talent that we have. So for him to go down with a torn ACL, it is just crushing, man, because we've talked about him a lot and him being the leadoff hitter for the Atlanta Braves and the face of their franchise, it's tough to see. So, wishing him a speedy recovery. Hopefully he's going to be back within a year or so. So just hope everything goes well for him on his recovery back to the field.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that, Moonaf. I think from a betting angle, the one thing it has done is kind of firmed up the Mets at the top of that NL East division. We've tipped them up a few times pre-season. The Braves have now drifted out to sixes, and the Nationals have kind of doubled in price. They were 10-1 a few weeks ago. They then had that little run, little heater they got on, halved in price, and now they've doubled back out in price to sort of tens again with the Phillies sitting at 6-1. So that's firmed the Mets up a little bit, which is no bad news for me with some of the tickets I've got on World Series and what have you. But it's not the way really you'd like to do it. Yeah.
And just to wrap it up, I mean, it sucks for the Braves because now they lose their best hitter, and now they're not going to get their best pitcher. We talked about last week with Mike Soroka not being, he re-aggravated his injury. So for them to not have their best pitcher and their best hitter, that's really going to be tough for the Braves. But it almost seems like that the Mets are pretty much a lock to win that division.
Make sure to head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for a free $25. That's right. Sign up now for a free shot at $1 million. Draft day is happening 13th of July at 1 p.m. Pacific. Ryan, Real Money Kramer, will be drafting underdog best ball teams for 24 hours straight. You can hop on the stream and draft with Kramer and the guys. Plus 15 free entries to Best Ball Mania 2 will be given out. If that wasn't enough, there's a $500 draft day props contest based off of Kramer that you can only enter in the app. So download the app, sign up at underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. I'm not allowed to get. I can't get an underdog fantasy from out of the state over here. But I think this Kramer's going to be YouTubing that tomorrow. So I am 100%. Because the best thing I think about this is I'll be able to get on. It'll be kind of about 3 o'clock in the morning. So if I can get on in the middle of the day, I might just be able to have a little chat with Kramer and boost him up a little bit when he's in the wee small hours all by himself. So that's tomorrow or tonight, depending on when you pick this podcast up. Kramer's going for it. So yeah, I'm going to join the YouTube and see how far he's mentally unraveled by the time I get to watch him draft a little bit.
So you've now read that ad twice and you haven't laughed since you read it. So kudos to you. But, you know, we don't have baseball. We have the Orange Derby tonight and there's no basketball until I think on Wednesday. There's a 2-game gap. So do you think I should dedicate my big screen to watching Kramer doing these drafts for 24 hours?
100%. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You could absolutely chronicle how he's getting on. I mean, I don't know what his tactics are, whether he's going to try a couple of beers or what have you. But yeah, I look forward to getting the chat room with him and see if I can make some unhelpful remarks. I'm sure he'll enjoy that. So home run derby, Moonaf. Now, this is something where my rookie baseball fandom means that you're going to take the driving seat. You're going to guide me through this. I've watched a couple of highlights, but in terms of trends, pointers, I've made some picks for tonight, just people that I like the look of, and I've crunched a few numbers, but I need you to take the driving seat. So what direction are we heading tonight? What are the bets? What are the props? How are we making our picks?
Yeah, I was trying to pull up my notes here. I guess kind of to rewind, let's talk about the rules change that kind of happened from, I think it was 2015, where they kind of changed the rules of this home run derby. So prior to that, it used to be where there would be 10 batters would be given 10 outs, meaning that if they swung at the pitch and it didn't go for a home run, it was counted as an out. And they kind of found that it was really time consuming. And with the amount of batters that they had to do something to change the rules. So now what it is that they have the 8 guys that are selected or take the invitation to participate in the home run derby. And what it is that they give them a 1-8 seed by the amount of home runs that they've hit up till now, till the All-Star break. So with Ohtani having the most home runs so far at the midway point, he's the number 1 seed and so on and so forth. And then they get separated into brackets. So 1-8, 2-7, 4-5, 3-6. That's how the bracket will line up. Kind of like how the NBA playoffs are in the Western Conference or Eastern Conference. That's how it's lined up. So what happens is now that they're on a time limit. I think it's about 4 minutes per batter. And then you have, I believe it's either 1 timeout or 2 timeouts to kind of take a break, get some Gatorade and water in your system, because swinging for 4 minutes straight is really going to take a toll.
I'm exhausted just imagining that. That's absolutely right? Terrifying.
So they give them 2 timeouts, I believe, and, you know, time to take a break and then start again. So pretty much it's just head-to-head, single elimination. So I think the first bracket is I'm just going to throw through 2 guys out there. I should have pull up the bracket here.
I've got them down. Yeah. So on the left hand side, we've got 1-8, which is Shohei Ohtani and Juan Soto. And then the 4-5 matchup is Sal Perez and Pete Alonso. Okay. And over on the other side of the bracket is the 2-7, Joey Gallo and Trevor Story. And the 3-6 is Matt Olson and Trey Mancini. And then we've got semi finals and a final. I think there's a bonus time thing as well. If they hit it over 400 feet, they get a bonus few seconds added on the end, something like that.
Yeah. So it varies sometimes from stadium to stadium. So if they hit it, I don't quote me on this, and I should have been more prepared, but I think it was if they hit it over 475 feet or something like that they get some bonus time to add more home runs. So let's just take.
So what's the angles then? Are we looking to pick an outright? Do you pick matchups? I mean, and is it just to pick your favorite player, or are there any actual stats that will lead us to the winner, Moonaf? What's our system?
So I kind of went back and, you know, I could have gone to prior years and looked at, you know, who's kind of won this tournament based on their seeding. But I really just wanted to go back to 2016 when they changed the format of having these seeds in the bracket. And what I found was obviously last season, because of COVID, they didn't have a All-Star game in home run derby. So the defending champion is Pete Alonso, who is the 5 seed this year and is in the defending champion, right? So since 2016, The number one overall seed has not won this home run derby. And this year, it is the face of the MLB season, at least for this season, your buddy, your guy, Ohtani.
Yes.
And so I didn't pick Ohtani this year because the history, well, number one, is not with him. And then we'll get to some of the particulars here in a second. So I'll just kind of go back from 2016. It was a number five seed who won was Stanton. And then for the last 3 years where they had it, it was all the number two seeds. So Judge, Harper, and Pete Alonso, who won it in 2019, all number two seeds. Fast forward to the venue now, the stadium and the field. Coors Field, you know, for baseball fans who know, Coors Field is probably, if not is, the best hitter's ballpark as far as scoring runs and hitting home runs and things like that. So I did post an article, an early preview of what I expect to see in this home run derby. And we had also talked about in the Slack channel was that the dimensions of Coors Field, along with the altitude and the heat that's going to be in Denver tonight, is really going to play into parts of how far the ball might go and which type of players that it kind of favors, right? Yeah. So I guess let's break it down by, let's go with our prop bets first. So the books are offering that you can bet on the round one matchups, you know, how the bracket style is. You can bet on the longest home run hit. You know, the books have posted, some have it at 510 and a half feet. Some have it at 519 and a half. So if you shop around, you may be able to find a lower number if you do like the over. There's also prop bets where you can bet on who you think is going to be in the exact final. You think it's going to be Pete Alonso versus Joey Gallo. And that's something that you have to kind of go through the list. So I guess kind of slow it down and zoom it out. I wrote down on our sheet. Let's start with the one that I think was really talked about in our Slack channel today was how far the longest home run is going to go. And depending on your book, you can find different type of numbers. Currently on DraftKings, you see it at 519 and a half feet. And some other books, you have it at 510 feet. I was able to find it on a local at 506 feet. And I took the over on that because based on the altitude and the temperature that they're expecting tonight in Denver at Coors Field, I think there's going to be some monumental home runs that are going to be hit. So my first prop bet was over 510 feet is going, or more than 510 feet is going to be the longest home run.
And yeah, I like that because that's it. No, I was having a look. Sorry to interrupt you there, Moon. But a lot of the winners recently have been sort of 470, 480. And this, with it being a Coors Field thing, you can't, you have to factor that in. So it's a little bit of a dart through, and you've got to come down on one side of the fence. But finding that number at 506 when some books have got it at 519, yeah. That's the window of opportunity that you're looking for.
Yeah. And then quickly, historically, I just forgot to mention that the last home run derby at Coors Field was in 1998. And the longest home run hit in that home run derby at Coors Field was by Mark McGwire. And they estimated it to go at 510 feet. So with some of the power guys that we have in the derby tonight, with Joey Gallo, a guy that's a power bat, Ohtani, a guy that, you know, he looks like a small guy, but he has some pop in his bat. So for my first prop bet, I'll give you the two prop bets that I liked as far as this number was. I took the over 506. You probably won't find that now, but I also took the over at 510 feet to go over that. And then I took Joey Gallo to hit the furthest home run at plus 350. So to start off the betting card tonight, those are the two prop bets that I started with.
Okay, I like that. So one of those markets, I did pick one, that was the player to hit the longest home run. And I just saw Ohtani, because I haven't picked him to win it. You want a player who's going to be there for all three rounds. I think that gives you a much better chance of winning, obviously, if you're hitting 12 minutes worth of home runs rather than four. So I think Ohtani will go deep into the competition.
Yeah.
And because I wasn't picking him to win outright, I didn't want to leave him out of my picks. So this was a way of getting him at probably one of the bigger prices. I think he's 5-2 to win overall, but he was 7-2 to hit the longest home run. So that was my one prop that I picked out. And then we had a round one matchup each that we've picked out.
Yeah, you want to start with yours? I'm trying to look for a price for yours.
Yeah, I couldn't. The two UK books that I use over here had basic props. They didn't have any of the fancy ones. They had the outright winner and the player to hit the longest home run. Obviously, not as much interest in the UK. So it was just. Again, I was trying to do a bit of homework. I wanted to come with some valid information.
Sure.
And what I did find, I looked at the park dimensions, which got posted in the Slack channel. And obviously, centre field's kind of the deepest part of this park. And Trey Mancini, it was a great story, surviving his colon cancer. But he hits a lot of his... home as have gone to centre field this year, straight away centre.
Yeah.
So I think if Mancini carries on, if that's his arc, if that's his wheelhouse, then he might just struggle to get as many balls straight away as some of the pull hitters. So I've taken Olsen over Mancini in that bracket. Now, I didn't have a price, so if you tell me it's -400 or something, it's not a very fancy price. But did you manage to find anything?
Yeah, it's -240, which I mean, especially when you have, you know, some of the guys that the books are expecting in advance, they're all above -200. There's not a single matchup that they have which is less than -200, which is fine, right? We're in the home run derby. I mean, We've talked about that, at least for our picks. We don't want to do anything above -200. But when you're in a home run derby in such a small field, it's okay.
But what we can do, Moonaf, is we can parlay Olsen over Mancini. We can parlay him with your pick, which is the same price. Who have you gone for?
Exactly. So my pick was going to be Pete Alonso in round one over Salvador Perez. And I know you put a note on Salvador Perez, so you want to get into that. I think that was where my head was exactly at. And then I'm glad that you put that note there.
There was a couple of things. Hey, Pete Alonso won, obviously 2 years ago, but he won very comfortably. It wasn't really close. He sort of, he smashed everyone out of the water. There was no, certainly wasn't a photo finish. So that nudges us in one direction. But yeah, Sal Perez, I just think, he might struggle a little bit for stamina. He's quite a big body. Yeah. He's a catcher. He can hit it a long way, but I don't know for a large period of time. Then you've helpfully pointed out that no catcher has ever won the home run derby. So there was two or three pointers there that I thought Alonso was a good pick over Sal Perez. What I was actually looking for when I started narrowing down the field was people I could put a line through rather than who's going to win. I was like, I started with who's not going to win. Yep. So I got to Mancini, too many centre field shots, put a line through him. Sal Perez, I think, struggled for stamina. And then you helpfully added in the catcher thing. And Ohtani, I put a line through. I thought the price was too short. This is a competitive event. It is an exhibition event. I didn't want to be choosing a favourite. I didn't want to go chalky in an exhibition. So I managed to put a line through those three. So yeah, that's where I got my Sal Perez info from. And you fancy Alonso to take him out in round one.
Yeah. And like we said, that the number one overall seed for Ohtani hasn't won the title or won the home run derby in quite some time. So I think that's something else that's on our side. So round one matchup, just to recap, that is going to be, I have Pete Alonso over Sal Perez in the first round. And then Malcolm, you have...
Matt Olson over Trey Mancini.
Okay. So then if your book allows you to parlay those two first round matchups, I would go ahead and do that also. Did you have any other props as far as, you know, furthest guy hitting the longest home run or
no? I've already covered Shohei Ohtani to hit the longest home run at 7-2, so +450 there.
Yeah.
Like I say, I wanted to be there for three rounds, and I do think he'll take home some kind of prize, but not the winner. So yeah, we can move on to our outright picks and Moona for the winner. Where did you land?
Yeah, and these were two guys that when the initial lineup or the guys that were participating was set. Pete Alonso was the first guy that kind of stuck out to me because he's the only guy in this home run derby that has experience and he is the defending champ. Everybody else has not participated in the home run derby. So I think that was one checkbox for me for Pete Alonso. Also, Pete Alonso, I was reading some articles around some other, you know, guys that I respect and like reading their work, is that I found that, you know, because they are in altitude in Denver, and Pete Alonso said that he's, number one, excited to be in this home run derby as a defending champ. But he also said during the offseason that he's usually on the West Coast and he's used to being in that altitude and that he won't have a hard time adjusting to it. I'll take his word for that, but I think we'll have to, that's something that we'll have to keep an eye out for as the home run derby progresses. So Pete Alonso, 5-1, I found. I got down on that. And the second guy I went with was Joey Gallo, plus 400. I see he's now down to 3-1, so there's some money coming in on Joey Gallo. Probably the guy that, of the eight participant, probably has the most power amongst these guys. So I think Joey Gallo is a guy that can make that run in that. I think he's on the weaker side of the bracket also. So those are the two guys that I kind of fancy to win this home run derby. And quickly, I am trying to look for the exact matchup for these two guys. So Joey Gallo and Pete Alonso to go head to head in the final round, in the finals.
Yes, I like where this is going, Muna.
15-1. Okay. And that's right now third favorite behind Shohei Ohtani and Joey Gallo at 12-1. And then what was the other one? You go through yours and I'll try to write down these matchups.
Yeah, so I took one pick and Joey Gallo was my man as well. Now, I've just taken some 9-2 about Joey Gallo. So I've got 4.5-1, which if anyone is over here or can get on Skybet is what I've used to get my 9-2 about Joey Gallo. So that's a good price. Few reasons. It is the easier side of the draw, I believe.
Yeah.
And for most of the stats, well, like I've already said, I didn't want to go talking with Ohtani. Joey Gallo comes in second in a lot of the key stats where Shohei Ohtani, it's a 1-2, actually. There's quite a steep drop-off to some of the other players in a lot of these things. Exit velocity, home run to fly ball rate, and also ISO,
yeah,
which is a power sabermetric, isolated power. For those four reasons, I came down on Joey Gallo as well. So yeah, Joey Gallo at 9-2. If you can still see a shop around and you'll find some 9-2. So that was my outright pick, Joey Gallo, to go with Ohtani is hitting the longest home run. He's actually boosted up to 4-1 now. There's a little offer of 4-1. That's on Skybet as well. So it looks like Skybet might be your place to get the value tonight if you can access that website. So they were my two main picks. But like I say, slightly feeling my way in the blind, moon off, but I'm all right. You know, I feel like my process is solid. So I look forward to waking up in the morning and watching the highlights and see if I can wake up to a winner.
Yeah, I think we have a double lock with Joe Gallo. So I'm glad we have a guy that we agree on. So that's pretty much it. I think that's there anything else. So we've had a extensive conversation.
No, it's just it. I mean, the other thing, what can you? No, the Slack channel has been a buzz today with chat. So we need to get this podcast up and running because we're probably about 8 hours away now from first pitch. So people don't want to have to wade through my 15 minutes of whinging about England to get to the good stuff. So so we can get this out and let people listen and make their picks before the fun starts in a few hours time.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then some housekeeping, then you can wrap it up. Tomorrow we'll be recording with Nick and Will, just getting our first half reaction, second half predictions, a couple other things, and then picks for the weekend. So looking forward to getting those guys back on tomorrow. Other than that, for me, enjoy the home run derby tonight. Let's go Joey Gallo. Let's go over 510 feet for the furthest home run. And that's all I have for myself. Anything else?
Absolutely not, Moonaf. I feel like this has been a little bit of therapy tonight. I feel like I've been in a safe space with you. You've helped me out a bit. I'm the up part of the roller coaster now. I'm slowly edging my way to the top again. So thanks for that. We'll be back the rest of the week. Enjoy the All-Star game and the rest of the festivities this week. We'll appreciate you listening and we'll see you down the road. Cheers.